Savior. Amen. For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
What a Savior. Yeah. What a special treat it is to be here today. And I can't help but think in these words to you, my brother, of that conversation in the gym at Tabernacle Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for the privilege to stand here today and just speak from my heart to your heart, brother.
Amen.
And I'm rejoicing with you today. I'm going to tell you what a delight it is to serve the Lord. 40 years as a senior pastor, I grew up in a pastor's home, and I would like to say I've just about seen it all, but I'm going to tell you, we have a better Savior than all of our sin and all of our sorrows. And my, what a Savior he is. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the passage that you've given me, I want to just share a few things with you that as Paul reminded Timothy of some important truths, by God's grace and for his glory, I want to put you in remembrance of a couple things that are quite frankly non-negotiables.
That's right.
First of all, since Christ is your life and he's the life of this local church body, I want to remind you, my friend, number one, that your identity is always Christ.
Amen.
Not the title of pastor, not the successes or the failures of ministry in the days to come. I find in this chapter that Paul mentions his life. He said, for me to live is Christ. Paul didn't say for me to live is the pastor. He didn't say for me to live is to have this or that. He said for me to live is Christ. And 10 times he mentions his name in this particular chapter. And Paul impressed upon Timothy that ministry is Christ, not himself or Timothy. And when people met Paul, he wanted them to meet the Christ in him, not Paul. And therefore, your identity in Christ is seen in verse 7 when he says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. In Christ, surrender every day to the Christ that lives in you. As the Holy Spirit magnifies the person of Christ, for therein you will have power in Christ alone. Colossians 1:29, for this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which works mightily within me. And then also love. We are motivated by the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14. And we love as Christ loves. I just tell you, we're just a bunch of ordinary people. We're just a bunch of dirt pots. But we can love one another through the love of Christ as Christ loves his people through us. And so a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And then I see here self-discipline. The Christ in you resisted temptation. The Christ in you yielded to God's will, not my will, but thine be done. And even the controlling of speech and reactions when he was falsely accused, that's Christ in you as you surrender to him. But also the balancing of solitude and service, how often Jesus in self-discipline would go apart to be with his heavenly Father. And then in verse 8, you're not ashamed of the testimony, the message of Jesus. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. When your identity is Christ, in verse 8, you're willing to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. I love verse 8. Nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. I invite you to accept the trials that will come in ministry as entering into the koinonia of the fellowship, the suffering of Jesus Christ. And he will be so near and dear to you. Amen. In those days. And then also in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You operate through the purpose and the grace that is given to you through Christ. And then verse 10, you put the gospel on display in your life, your ministry, and in your marriage. Yep. He says in verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Mm-hmm. And then you preach and teach under the authority of Christ. And that's verse 1 as well as verse 11, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Your authority is the word of God.
That's right.
Your authority is not your position. It is Christ alone. And as you come to know the mind of Christ and you begin to give your folks good grain, they will come to respect you because they know that when they come here, you are not their source of truth. You're their cheerleader for truth. It so makes them want to come to know Christ in such a greater way, to glorify God as the Holy Spirit teaches them and guides them in all truth. And in doing so, you're not a preacher that's a shepherd. You're a shepherd that's a preacher. Your people, these sitting around you, are the folk who you want to cause them to say as well, yet not I, but Christ in me. And so your identity, Joel, I beg you, it's not the name that comes before, Joel. How marvelous it is to be a pastor. How marvelous it is to have a flock that you can just share your heart with through the Word of God. But in all of life, your identity is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that I want to share with you is I would encourage you and remind you, please sit at Jesus' feet every day.
That's right.
Verse 6, therefore do not be ashamed, or verse 6, excuse me, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Cultivate that personal relationship with the Lord day by day. This gift that's to be stirred up is the Holy Spirit. Now, you're not, when we come to salvation, the Trinity comes to dwell within us and we're made complete in Christ. I don't need him to give me more, or I don't need to stir up the Holy Spirit. What I need to do is that I need to understand that the arena of operation day in and day out of my life is my walk with Christ. The inward life must always be the object of our most careful attention. The Christian life and ministry is not about presentation or show, but it's about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wiersbe said, Timothy did not need any new spiritual ingredients in his life. All he had to do was stir up what he already had.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when you come to Christ for salvation and God gives you Christ, he can't give you any more. You have a full pantry. Always just run to the Trinity that dwells within you, and you have all you need in him. And so, as like me, I love to go into the pantry, and my wife just played one on me yesterday. She hid something from me, and she grins, and she says, I hid it because I knew you'd eat it. He'll never hide those things from you. Just get into the pantry. Get into the pantry of his word. Come to know his heart and his mind. So much so that I want to say this as hopefully an encouragement to you. It's a heartache to myself. As I travel and I speak with pastors all the time, I'll often ask them, so tell me about your time with the Lord every day. Do you read God's word? Do you spend time in prayer? And this is what I constantly am hearing more than I want to hear. Oh, I might read my Bible two or three times a week. I might pray here or there.
Yeah.
And what we become is a sermon producer.
That's right.
Instead of coming to know the heart of our Savior.
Amen.
And I beg you, delight yourself in the Lord. Find him to be your greatest joy. And I'm reminded also that no matter how much spiritual progress or privilege or glory that we might have, it can all be turned to nothing if we stop listening to God and cultivating that relationship with him. I've been reading Jeremiah here just recently. Jeremiah 9:24 says, "But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." It is an amazing thing that when you meet with him, he's delighting in you. And so turn around and delight in him. We do not read the scriptures to get something for ourselves. We come to know him. And to sit in his presence. And sometimes, Joel, the best thing you can do is to sit and be still and say nothing. And just think on him. And read each word as a fresh love letter to your heart. So be a man who is sitting at Jesus' feet. Because in that, you'll find that you'll live in the atmosphere of prayer. I love what he says in verse 3 here. He says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day." Many times we pray because we're looking for results. May I encourage you to just pray for communion. To pray and enjoy the, as I mentioned just a moment ago, enjoy the presence of God.
Amen.
Delight in him. Prayer should not be a duty. It ought to be a delight. And even through your day, you find yourself taking prayer breaks through the day. You go to the hospital and you come out and you get in your car. And our tendency is to get in the car and to go, okay, what's my next assignment? And off we go. Well, just stop for a moment and just say, "Lord, thank you for grace that you gave to be able to minister to that hurting family. I just want to stop and tell you, I love you." You might even find yourself singing a little bit. And just enjoying the presence of the Lord. The Jesus in you never gets in a hurry. He would go to the mountain and he'd spend time with the Lord. Even so much so that Jesus himself 5 times in the book of John said that he did nothing of his own initiative, only what the Father told him to do or he saw the Father doing. And we cannot learn the heart of God and understand the direction of the Holy Spirit if we're always on the run. We can take prayer breaks throughout the day, talking to him. And then I don't have time to encourage you about this, but I will say this. I challenge you that once a month, you take a half a day or a whole day, and you go get away with the Lord. We think that long hours is going to produce prosperous ministry. No, it's sitting at Jesus' feet. This is his church. This is his body. And we want to hear his mind and do what he says. I love Ecclesiastes 4:6. "Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit." So I want to encourage you. Your identity is Christ. Sit at Jesus' feet. And as we find even in this particular verse, or chapter 1, even in verse 2, that he says to Timothy, a beloved son. It's going to sound strange when I say this, especially on this day. But begin today preparing for your exit whenever the Lord leads you out of here. Yes, you want a pastor as though this is the last church that you will ever have the opportunity to shepherd. But I'm seeing a bunch of young folks all around here that, Lord willing, by the grace of God, one of these young men, because of the privilege of discipling them, you may have your next pastor sitting right here in this congregation. And I trust that by the grace of God, that be true.
Amen.
Just like in Johnson City, Tennessee, I ended on January the 6th, 24, and my son-in-law became pastor on January the 7th of 24. What a transition. What a sweet thing. And I left. May that happen someday down the road here because of the discipleship culture that's created here. And then I'll just give you a fourth one, and that is surround yourself with good men who are given to the ministry of reminders. 4 times in the first few verses of this chapter, we have the same root word that Paul is talking about. Put them in remembrance. Remind them. Have good men around you like you do here today to remind you and be humble enough to receive good counsel. Ask questions. I'm telling you, I'm 67 years old. I was sitting over there a while ago. And I'm going to tell you what I did, but it reminded me. I just seem to be fumbling and bumbling more and more the older I get. And the reality is that The Holy Spirit's knocking out of me what doesn't look like Jesus. He won't share his glory with anybody.
Yeah.
Every day of our life, we are dependent upon the Christ that we just sang about. So, Joel, praise the Lord. I'm in your corner, pal, cheering you on. Your identity's Christ. Sit at Jesus' feet. Discipleship culture. And ask questions. And let people remind you, because we all have blind spots. But Christ in us, the hope of glory. I recite one more time. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Amen. Cheering you on, friend.